Walking along that section of A1A today reveals a story of change. Along the beach is a low corrugated wall with a makeshift wooden cover on top. The road is a patchwork of different shades of asphalt, but beyond that, you'd never know that a year ago it was all underwater.
My neighbors would come down and have a glass of wine on my patio out there, and we'd watch the kayakers coming down the middle of A1A.
Molly Myers has been in the same house since eighth grade. She's seen the water come across the road before, lapping up against the seawall that separates her house from A1A. But the destruction of last year was a first.
I'd never seen it come across the way it did that time, again and again and again.
The waves from Sandy and some small storms just after ate away at the sand, causing sections of road and sidewalk to fall into the sea, like piano keys or falling dominoes. But remember, Sandy wasn't a big storm. To explain the uncharacteristic destruction, many pointed to sea level rise. Len Berry is director of the Center for Environmental Studies at FAU.
In many parts of the globe, 6 inches sea level rise doesn't make much difference. In South Florida, it does.
When the waters retreated, the city started to rebuild the road in the same place. There really was no other choice. It's the only road that accesses some 150 homes and condos there, a situation that's repeated throughout coastal areas in South Florida. In February, the Florida Department of Transportation drove 44-foot sheet pilings into the sand between the beach and what was left of the road. It's a long-term solution, something that other roads in South Florida, just as vulnerable, just as crucial, have yet to benefit from. Scott Peterson is the FDOT project manager for the A1A reconstruction.
The sheet pile will protect all the infrastructure landward of that sheet piling.
But experts are critical of FDOT's tendency to react instead of prevent when it comes to the effects of sea level rise.
DOT has been good at getting some of the issues studied. They haven't been able to follow up in implementing much.
That's Len Berry again. He was principal investigator on one study funded by FDOT. It lays out a method for identifying areas that will be affected by sea level rise. But FDOT has yet to turn it into any sort of policy. Policy, of course, is one way of setting priorities, goals, and mandates, both in design and budgeting.
It's not something that's risen to the level yet that the department feels that we have to set a statewide policy on this issue yet.
Jim Wood is director of policy at FDOT. He thinks studies like Berry's are excellent tools for municipalities as they deal with sea level rise.
But the department is not setting a specific policy moving forward that this is how it will have to be implemented.
He says it doesn't necessarily make sense for the department to set policy for something that would be of more interest to South Florida than elsewhere in the state. Cities like Fort Lauderdale can and are taking initiative, though, in shoring up infrastructure, despite the lack of statewide policy. Diana Alarcon is from the Fort Lauderdale Transportation and Mobility Department.
It's very near and dear to our heart to put best practices into place so that we are creating the roadways for not just tomorrow, but for, 20 years down the road.
They've already spent over $8 million, with at least another $6 million to go. The plan for the washout section of A1A reduces the four lanes to two. It's a symbol of what Berry calls retreat. Though the word is not in the American lexicon, he says it will have to be as we deal with the future of sea level rise. I'm Wilson Sayre in Miami.